Hebrews chapter 11. I might turn and say it's good to be in the Lord's house. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I'm thankful for Brother Joe giving us the opportunity to preach. He did ask me last night, so I was prepared. I'm thankful for him allowing us the opportunity to stand in his pulpit. And I do count that an honor and a privilege to be able to stand where our dear man of God stands and faithfully leads the flock. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read one verse, and that's verse number 22, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask that you pray for us tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Father, thank you again for this opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God. And I thank you for this passage. And Lord, the thought that you put upon my heart. But Lord, I confess openly before you and before those that are here that I cannot do a thing without you. And so the only way this message is going to be delivered is that you would deliver it through us. Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for your anointing. I pray, Father, for the power of the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you would meet with us tonight through your word. And, Lord, you would take this word and you would, Lord, you would bless it to our hearts. Lord, help us to be able to hear and to understand. Help us to be able, Father, to take this word and, Lord, to be able to gain strength from it. Lord, I pray that you would help me. Lord, your feeble messenger, I pray that you would guide my words. And Lord, you'd guide my faults. You'd strip me of all pride and clothe me in the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that above all things, that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done. And Lord, I'll thank you and praise you and give you all the glory and say that I am nothing but just an unprofitable servant. And Father, if you'd just be pleased to help us, and we'll give you glory and honor for it all. It is in Jesus' name that we do humbly pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture, really, this text has always kind of fascinated me. I don't know, probably 10, 12 years ago, I taught through this chapter with my teenage class, and I came, and it didn't take me 10 or 12 years, I saw that. But it took me, we went verse by verse through this chapter, and I came to this text, this passage, really, verses 20 through 22. When you look at them, really, they are interesting, not so much in what is said, but in what is not said. It's interesting as you look through the Bible that we recognize that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness. And we recognize that this is God's revelation to us. It is not everything that there is to know, but it is everything that God saw fit to tell us. And so when you look at what God has chosen to put emphasis on and what he has not emphasized, it's very interesting when we look at not only what God chose to tell us, but what God did not choose to tell us. And one thing that he does not tell us, especially in Hebrews chapter number 11, is every one of these people that are listed in this that we call the Hall of Faith, these are men and women just like you and me. These are men and women that had their own problems and had their own struggles, had their own failures, had their own mistakes, had their own hang-ups just like we do. They lived their lives day by day just like we do. They had days of victory and days of defeat. They had days when they were on the mountaintop and days when they were in the valley. They had days when they were walking in faith and days when they were dealing with the darkness of doubt. But I'm thankful that when God chooses to give his record of their life, that he does not emphasize their failures and he does not emphasize their doubts, but instead he emphasizes their faith. And I'm thankful that it is that way, Brother Stanley, that God, when he looks at us, he does not look at us in the midst of our failures. He sees them. Oh, rest assured that he sees them. And rest assured that he deals with them. And he will correct us if we're one of his. But I am thankful that the sins that I have committed that he has forgiven me of will not be brought back up again. They will not be used against me again. I'm
thankful that God does not emphasize our failures, but God emphasizes our faith. And that's what He does for these people here. But it's interesting, especially, I think, in the life of Joseph, that all that we get for the life of Joseph is just one brief mention in one small verse. And all the things that Joseph did, all the life that is recorded for us about Joseph, Joseph is probably one of the most perfect pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything negative recorded about Joseph in the Old Testament. His life is a pattern and is a picture and a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't have time tonight, nor do you, for me to try to go into those pictures where he represents the Lord Jesus. But I'll say this tonight, there are a lot of things that God could have chosen to tell us that Joseph had done by faith. He could have said, by faith, Joseph received the revelation of God concerning his life. You remember the two dreams that are recorded about Joseph, and those two dreams that Joseph had showed that he was going to be put in a position where his brothers would have to bow down to him and submit to him, and they envied him because of that. Hey. And by the way, when Jesus said, I am He, his brethren envied Him at that and rejected Him for it. But thank God those revelations of who Joseph was and those revelations of who Jesus was still came to pass. It could have been said that Joseph, he believed God's revelations. It could have been said that Joseph, by faith, trusted God in the midst of his trials. It could have been said that by faith, Joseph served Potiphar faithfully. It could have been said that Joseph, by faith, fled temptation. It could have been said that by faith, Joseph went down into prison and came back up to the palace. It could have been said that by faith, Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. By faith, Joseph saved Egypt and Israel. By faith, Joseph brought his family out of Canaan and into the land of plenty. It could have been said many things that Joseph did in his life by faith. But Brother Brandon, what God emphasizes, what the Hebrew writer penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell us what Joseph did by faith was not his life, it was at his death. By faith, Joseph, when he died. Notice what he has said. By faith, Joseph, when he died. Now, verse 20 tells us about when Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find out that he did that when he thought he was about to die. Verse 21 tells us, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then we get to verse number 22, by faith Joseph, when he died. What I'm trying to say this evening is this, that the faith that these men had that did while they were living was faith that would do while they were dying. And thank God for some folks that finished this life with faith. Thank God for folks that have lived a life of faith and have finished well. Hey, you can get hung up if you want to. You can get your eyes caught up if you want to on those that quit and those that stopped and those that no longer preaching and those that are no longer singing, those that died away from God. But I'm telling you, for every one of them, there's about five faithful saints that have gone on and lived their lives out in faith and have trusted God to the very end and have pressed their dying pillow with a joy and a hope in their heart because of the faith that they have. I'm just trying to tell you tonight, thank God for men and women of God that have kept the faith all the way to the end. And the way that we can finish well is by faith. You say, Brother Perry, I didn't start out real well. That's all right. You can still finish well. You say, Brother Perry, I've stumbled along the way. Hey, you can't go back and restart again. And you can't go back and fix failures. But I can tell you what you can do. You can say, from henceforth, from now on, I'm just going to live a life of faith. And I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to trust in God. And I'm going to go all the way because He said He would go all the way with me. So Joseph, when he died, he finished well. And I thank God for some folks that finished well. I'm thankful, Miss Krista, I didn't have to gather around. We didn't gather around Dad's coffin and say, I remember when he used to. I remember when he once did. But I'm thankful we could gather around and say, thank God that he remained alive and a faithful witness all the way to the end, led singing all the way up to his last church meeting. Thank God taught Sunday school whenever it came up. I'm thankful that he didn't leave it as a has-been or a used to be, but he held on to the end. I thank God for folks that finished well. I thank God for folks like Miss Granny Justice, who at 105 years old in a nursing home, couldn't hardly get around, but thank God when the church folk gathered around her and began to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, that feeble little hand went up in the air and said, praise God, praise God, praise God. She stayed faithful to the end, and I'm just trying to tell you, you can do it as well. How do you do it? By faith, you just trust Him. The way that we make it to the end faithfully is the same way we got in this thing. By faith. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. How'd you receive Him? You received Him by faith. I've said this here before. I remember about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess it was, and I was in a deep spiritual struggle of my own, and really nobody knew about it. It was just things going on in my mind, Brother Mike, and I remember praying and saying, God, I just don't know. I'm worried about not making it. I'm worried about falling away. I'm worried about not continuing on. Worried about failures, worried, Brother Brandon, about falling by the wayside. Hey, nobody that left the house of God and didn't come back started out that way. Amen. They didn't just walk out the door and all of a sudden not come back. There was a drawing away long before they left the pew. And I was just struggling with that. And I was working with a client that was a stroke patient. And Brother Mike, I had him on one of those big stability balls, and his movements were a little difficult for him to control. And I put him on that stability ball, and He was kind of worried about it, and I was behind him. I said, don't worry, I ain't going to let you fall. And standing right there behind that Muslim client of mine, God spoke to my heart and said, if you expect him to trust you, how much more ought you to trust me? And I about had me a shouting fit in the middle of Sports Med Fitness Center because God reminded me that I'm not standing by any power of my own. I'm not standing in anything that I've got, but I'm standing by the power of God. And I'm just telling you tonight, we finished this thing well by faith. It's by faith. Trusting the one who said that he would not leave us and would not forsake us. Notice what he says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He reminded them about the promise of God. Now, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, they received direct revelation from God, from the Word of God, from the voice of God telling them that that promise was theirs. God appeared to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and called him out to a land which he knew not. God appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12, chapter number 15, and multiple times telling him, I will bless your seed and your seed will be a blessing to all the earth. God spoke to Isaac and he spoke to him audibly and told him that that promise was going to continue through him. God spoke to Jacob at Bethel when Jacob was lying there with his head on a rock, and God said, if you'll follow me, I will give you this promise. But God had never spoken to Joseph. Joseph just believed what he had been told. He believed the word that had been spoken to him by another. And if you notice, verses 8 through 19 tells us about the faith of Abraham. Verse number 20 tells us about the faith of Isaac, and verse 21 about the faith of Jacob, and verse 22 about the faith of Joseph. You've got four generations all walking in the same faith. John said it like this in 3 John verse number 4. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And what has happened here is the father of faith has been a father with faith. And he has passed, you can't pass salvation down. You can't inherit salvation. But what can be passed down is truth. And faith in that truth can be manifested to the next generation. And so Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Isaac believed God and told Jacob about it. Jacob believed God and told Joseph about it. And Joseph just simply believed the truth that his daddy and his granddaddy and his great-granddaddy had believed in. He just trusted in the same God that they did. And he makes mention, he reminds them of God's promise. And he lives out that faith that the generations before him had lived out. Be hard-pressed to find four generations in the same church these days. You'd be hard-pressed to find a faith that has lasted from generations to generations. Because what has happened a lot of times is we have spoke it with our mouths, but our lives have not proven that we have faith. You know how you can know that Abraham believed God? He left Ur of the Chaldees like God told him to. You know how you can know that Abraham believed God? Because he took Isaac up the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice. You know how you can believe that Jacob believed God? It's because he left Laban's house and said, I've got to get back to Bethel. I've got to get back to the house of God. Every one of these heroes of faith that we find in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, they are doing something by faith. They're not doing something to earn faith, but Brother Stanley, because they have faith, they're doing something. They are acting upon their faith, and by their actions, you see their faith. That's what James is talking about in James chapter number 2. So this faith has been passed down, and he has seen the truth, and he has just simply believed God. He made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You'll find this in Genesis chapter number 55, or chapter number 50, I believe it's verse 22 through 26, something like that, where Joseph calls his sons and grandsons around and he tells them, I am dying. And I don't want you to bury me in Egypt. And I think, Brother Mike, that tells us something about Joseph. Jacob had made Joseph promise him not to bury him in Egypt. When he died, he said, I want you to take me back and bury me in the land of my fathers. I want you to take me back and bury me in Canaan. And as soon as Jacob died, they mourned for him for 40 days. And then they formed a funeral procession and carried him from Egypt back to the cave at Machpelah. And they buried Jacob there in Machpelah because he made him a promise that that's what he would do. But Jacob was 130 years old when he entered into Egypt, and he lived there for 17 years and died as an old man. No wonder he didn't want to stay in Egypt. But Joseph was a teenager when he was sold by his brethren to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites took him and sold him to Potiphar. Brother Brandon, Joseph lived in Egypt for over 90 years. And 80 years of that, he lived and reigned as the prime minister of Egypt. And in that time, he had taken an Egyptian wife and had two half-Egyptian boys. But you know what? In 90 years, they still couldn't make him an Egyptian. He wasn't going to be an Egyptian. He was not going to acclimate to the world around him. He was not going to be assimilated into their culture. Joseph had made up his mind. He was not an Egyptian. He belonged to another land. He belonged to another family. He belonged to another country. And he said, "Do not bury me here in this place, because I ain't from here. I'm a citizen of another country." Amen. Hallelujah. And though he lived in the world, he was not of the world. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Thank God. I'm telling you, I know that most of us have been here all our lives. I know, thank God, that we all have called Jackson County, Marshall County, somewhere in North Alabama, our home all our lives. But I'm telling you, Brother Stanley, I'm from another place. I've got a citizenship in another country. I'm from another country and another family. I belong to the family of God. Joseph was not going to be an Egyptian. But you know, the moment after Joseph died, the moment his soul departed out of his body, Brother Cody, he didn't care where he was buried. It didn't make a difference to him. See, it tells us something about Joseph, but it also tells us what Joseph is telling his people. Amen. They took Joseph and they embalmed him and they put him in a coffin and they put that coffin in Goshen and never put it in the ground. His embalmed body lay in a coffin in the middle of the place where his people lived. And depending on how you reckon the time, his body lay there for something like nearly 150 years. Just that coffin sitting out in the middle of Goshen. That's the way I picture it anyhow. You know what I picture? I picture a little Israelite boy walking hand in hand with his daddy down the road in Goshen. And he looks over there and sees that strange box and he says, "Daddy, what is that?" He said, "Well, son, that's the bones of Joseph." "Well, why is it just laying out in the middle of town?" "Well, he made us make him a promise that we wasn't going to bury him here. When God visited us again," which is what Joseph told him, Brother Bradley, he said, "for God shall surely visit you again and carry you up out of this place." Hallelujah. He said, "Son, he told us to take that with us when we go." "Daddy, how long has that been?" "Well, it's been about 100 years. But he made us promise him that when we get out of here, we're going to take him." Amen. Thank God. How do we know? How do we know that we're getting out of Egypt, Daddy? Well, Joseph reminded us that God said that we'd be here for a certain amount of time, but he wasn't going to leave us in Egypt, thank God. He wasn't going to leave us in this low land of sorrow. He wasn't going to leave us in this land of bondage, but he was going to deliver us out. He was going to bring us out. And Joseph left his bones as a reminder that this is not our home. Amen. Hallelujah. If I could sing, I would. This world is not our permanent dwelling. We have a better home on high. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that this place, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm glad I'm not staying here. I'm glad this ain't the only place there is, but there's a better land, and he made us a promise. He's carrying us out of here. Amen. He said, gave him a commandment concerning his bones. Exodus chapter number 1. The Bible tells us there rose up another king in Egypt which knew not Joseph. But the Israelites remembered who he was. They had a token. They had a visual reminder. They had a promise. They were coming out. Some 140, 150 years or so, that coffin lay there, Exodus chapter 13, and Moses took with him the bones of Joseph and set out on their journey through the wilderness. For 40 years, they toted that box of Joseph's bones through the wilderness. Why? He told them not to bury him in Egypt. He told them that God was going to visit them and carry them out. Why didn't they just take him and bury him just outside of Egypt? Because that ain't all Joseph told them. He also told them that he's going to bring you out and bring you in to the land that he promised. Anyway. 40 years in the wilderness. Somebody's got the job of toting the coffin of Joseph through that wilderness. And on those difficult days, in the midst of their wilderness wanderings, Brother Brandon, they'd look, and that coffin would be a reminder. He didn't bring us out here to die in the wilderness either. Oh, some would. Many would. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, would die in the wilderness. But the reason they did is because of their unbelief. But there was a generation that was under the age of 20 when they left out of Israel. They left out of Egypt, and they got the promise of entering into that land. And I just think that was that generation that kept looking back and wondering why they were carrying that box, why they were toting them bones, and they just simply believed God, that God was going to make good on his promise, that what God had promised he was able also to perform, and he was going to carry them into that land that he promised to give them. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. 7 years of conquest in the land and dividing out the inheritance. And finally you get to the last chapter in the book of Joshua. And it says they buried Joseph's bones in Shechem. And that land became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. Because by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He left them a token, a reminder of the promise of God. And tonight, I'm just trying to tell some pilgrims wandering in the wilderness. I know Canaan's not heaven, okay? Will y'all just bear with me on that? I know Canaan's not heaven. But there is a land of promise that he has said we will come to. And when we're wandering around, our heavenly Joseph, when he was about to die, he looked at him and said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I'm just trying to tell you tonight, in the difficulties of wandering in the desert, that we've got a token that we can lay hold on. We've got a promise that we can lay hold on tonight and remember that this world is not our home. And he didn't just save us to leave us here. But thank God he gave us a promise that he's preparing a land of promise over there. And if he goes away, he will come again and bring us from here over there. And he's been gone for about 2,000 years. But the token's still there. And the promise still rings true. And on the dark and difficult days, you can still open up the Word of God and read what our heavenly Joseph had to say and be reminded of the promise of God that we are leaving out of here. He will visit us again. The Bible, Paul said it like this: "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." I know the days are long, and I know the world gets difficult. Tonight I just came by to remind you what Joseph said by faith. He said, "We're leaving out of here one of these days and we're entering into a land which God has prepared for us." Thank God. Thank God for what Joseph had to say by faith. Amen. I'm done. Brother Sam, would you come?